Let's pray. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you have spoken, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that today as we come to your word, you'll continue to help us to understand it and understand Jesus, in whom is found all of the treasures and wisdom and knowledge, that we may grow up into him who is our head. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we continue our look at the book of Colossians, Paul's letter to this church at Colossae, a church that he'd never actually met. Our first week we saw that thanksgiving for the good news that had come to them. And Paul thanks the Lord that he's seen in them their faith in Christ and their love for the saints and their hope of heaven. And we also saw that Paul's prayer for gospel growth. And you remember Simon's KFC, you might recall from that Sunday, knowledge, fortitude and cheerfulness. That's what he prays for these people. Of course, today I've tried to work in a fast food group in my sermon title, but until about an hour ago, I hadn't quite figured it out. But I think I've got Subway now, but we'll just wait and see. I'm still thinking about this. Anyway, we had KFC, knowledge that they would be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, that they would have fortitude, patient endurance, and that they would be cheerful. And last week, we saw the foundation of all of this, and that is it's Jesus. It's Jesus who is the supreme creator over all things. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus is the one who dies in our place, providing the forgiveness for our sins that we all so desperately need, making peace, peace between humanity and God. This is our biggest need, peace with God. Because before God, a holy God, we stand condemned. We're alienated from him because of our evil behaviour. We're condemned. What we need is peace with God. That's what Jesus provides. In his death on the cross, through his blood, him standing in our place, taking the punishment for our sin, so that we could be reconciled with God. These are all of the things that we saw last time Jesus doing. And who he is? Why, he is God in the flesh. All of the fullness of God in him. Look at Jesus. We're staring God in the face. And Jesus is the focus of all of the scriptures. He is the one who created all things. He is the one for whom we were created, for we were made by him and for him. Ignore Jesus, friends, and you're still in your sins. Dismiss Jesus, and you'll meet God unforgiven. Reject Jesus, and you'll be staring at the darkness of a horrid abyss, forever alienated from a God who loves, who is gracious and compassionate, and who's done everything possible for us to be forgiven. Why, it cost the life of his only beloved Son. Jesus is central. Oh, that we would not have a small view of Jesus. I visited Clive Way just before he passed away, and he wanted this passage from Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 onwards to be read. Because as he was leaving this earth, he wanted to be reminded of the one who loved him and the one into whose presence he would be amazingly entering. And Paul understood the centrality of Jesus. He became a follower of Jesus, and his focus was Jesus, and he wanted everyone everywhere to find out about Jesus and to live for Jesus and to grow up into Jesus. This is really the whole thing of what we see here. And Paul gladly and willingly does this, proclaiming Jesus that to everyone he could, as verse 25 says and as verse 28 says, to present them mature in Christ. And it's a great goal for us also that we would proclaim Jesus. And I have 2 points today, and they're probably a bit corny, but he wants the word of God to be fully known, that the people of God would be fully grown. And he gladly suffers and labours for it. So if you're thinking of a fast food, chain, you've probably been thinking of nothing else. Sorry. Tune back in. So Subway. He gladly suffers that people would understand and that people would be built. That's his way. And it should be our way as well. There you go. Subway. Hopefully he remembers something. The immediate context of our passage here is that the gospel, Paul had become a servant of the gospel, and he became also a servant of the church, proclaiming the message in all of its fullness. And of course, it's Jesus that is the centre of his message, and Paul's desire is that everyone would hear, everyone would grow up into Jesus, and he willingly suffers for it. Gladly, willingly, as verse 24 says, he rejoices in suffering for God's people, that the word of God will be fully known. And there's a beautiful connection here between Paul's suffering and Christ's suffering. I don't know if it struck you as it was being read, but he says here that he rejoices in what is suffered for the Colossian Christians, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. Now this is, what he's saying is, when I suffer, Christ suffers. There's nothing lacking, I should say, or nothing deficient in Christ's suffering for our salvation. This is not a filling up of Christ's sufferings because there was something lacking when he died, when he suffered on the cross for our redemption, for our salvation, for our forgiveness. No, Christ's work on the cross is finished, done. It's a full, perfect and sufficient sacrifice for our sins. And if we look back at the earlier verses in chapter 1, we will see Christ's work is finished on the cross. God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile all things, making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once we were alienated because we were enemies in our minds because of our evil behaviour, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through his death to present you holy in his sight. Christ has done it all. There's nothing lacking, there's nothing deficient in his sacrifice and his suffering for us, but yet there is some suffering and some affliction with which Christ is still enduring for us, his body, because as we suffer, so he suffers. You might recall from Acts chapter 9 where God meets Paul, who was Saul at that stage, who was persecuting the church. And he says, why are you persecuting me? When we suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a sense in which Christ himself is suffering also. Christ Jesus is not aloof or unaware of our suffering for him. He is with us in it. And this should be give us a great encouragement to know that the one who made all things, who is supreme over all, who is our head, understands and suffers when we suffer for him. Now, there is a sense in which we can say, well, this is Paul. And it was true that Paul was called to an extraordinary suffering for the Lord. That is the case. But we are also called into God's service. We're also called to proclaim Jesus, to declare his praises, the one who called us from darkness to light. We're also called to always be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have in Jesus. And we are told that as we live a godly life and as we share the words of eternal life with others, that as the world hated Jesus, so the world will hate us. As the world persecuted Jesus, so the world will persecute us. These are words also for us. As we proclaim Jesus the light of the world, those who are in darkness will persecute us. As we proclaim Jesus, in whom is found the forgiveness of our sins, so we will be persecuted by those who are not forgiven and who shun Jesus' forgiveness. As we proclaim Jesus, who is the only one who can reconcile us to God, so will we be persecuted by those who are not reconciled, who are God's enemies. It's a great point of application, I think, for us, and a challenge, really. Are we prepared to suffer for the sake of the Word of God, to suffer for Jesus, that the Word of God, that the news of Jesus, that the gospel will be shared, proclaimed, taught throughout all of the world, that all would hear, that the Word of God would be fully known? Are we prepared personally to suffer for this in the workplace, to be bold for Jesus? Are we prepared to give up ourselves for the sake of the gospel, that it would go out? A great challenge has been thinking about how we use our resources in this life. It's a challenge to all of us. Are we prepared to so put the Word of God and Jesus' proclamation to the world as first priority as we think about how we use our resources? Filling up the sufferings of Jesus. Gordon and Ruth Russell, for whom we've been praying for their visa to be extended, had to leave Nepal yesterday. Had to move on. Not welcome anymore. Even though, humanly speaking, they're doing a great job. To say nothing of their eternal work as they share Jesus, the author of life. You see, it's filling up the sufferings of Christ. And one day Jesus will say, that's enough. And the full-time whistle will be blown on this planet, and all will be called to an account. And those who know Jesus, those who are in Jesus, those who have Christ in them, as we will see, those who have not been alienated anymore but are now at peace with God, those who are His will be brought into the fullness of the joy of His eternal kingdom, the kingdom of Jesus. In the meantime, we suffer, sharing the Word of God as Paul did in all its fullness. Paul goes on to describe a little bit more of this message, the Word of God, and he says, verse 26, that it's the mystery that's been hidden for ages and generations, but now disclosed to the saints. There is a fullness of understanding which Paul is proclaiming that until recent times was hidden, veiled. He uses the word mystery. This is not like, oh, it's mysterious, you can't understand it, or you have to be, you know, enlightened to get it. No, it's something that actually was hidden, now revealed. The mystery. And what is this mystery? It's Jesus. The one who is before all things. The one who created all things. The one for whom we were all made has entered our world, and he's died for our sins so that we could be reconciled and have peace with God. Paul will use this word mystery to say the thing that was hidden before is Christ coming into this world and the message going to the Gentiles. That is true. The message going to people throughout all of the world, to nations like Australia. That is true. But here he seems to have the emphasis of the mystery is Christ. And the mystery is Christ in you. The thing that was hidden before now revealed is that we have the supreme ruler of the cosmos in us. What an extraordinary idea, what an extraordinary thing. That we, as we come to Christ, as we are in Christ, so he comes to us and is in us. Jesus. He's a glorious, majestic truth. In him are the rich treasures, as 2 verse 3 says. It's Christ in you. This is this mystery now revealed. Jesus had spoken of this to his disciples as he said to them in John chapter 14, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, I'm going to come to you. And he underscores this a number of times throughout John's gospel. And of course, it is the case that Jesus comes to us and lives in us by his Spirit. But here in Colossians chapter 1, he uses this idea that it is Christ in us. And not just saying, well, it's his Spirit. He's saying it's Christ in you. The one who lived, who came, who spoke, who is coming again, he is connected, he is in us. Could it be that Paul is underscoring Jesus and Jesus and Jesus and Jesus again to these people because he knows, and it's hinted at in chapter 2 verse 4, he knows that there will be people who will come along who will try to deceive them with fine-sounding arguments. We don't know exactly at the moment what they are, possibly appealing to other experiences, other philosophies, other thoughts that they might have, and not Christ, taking them away from Christ. But he wants them to say, no, I proclaim Jesus, that all may know him, and that I want you to grow up into him, and in him are all the riches, and him is all the treasures, and he is in you. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's who we proclaim. Whatever these people might have been peddling with their fine-sounding arguments, Paul undoubtedly wants them to know that there is no greater experience now, Christ in you, nor is there any greater experience for the future that they can have other than knowing Jesus, Christ in you. The hope of glory. Christ is the great constant in our lives. Now, he is in us, with us. And that continues. Death does not separate us from that relationship. Christ in you, the hope of glory, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There'll be plenty of people who will come and say, come away to this experience or to this new teaching which you need to embrace. But Paul is bending us all back to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see Paul suffering for God's people that the word of God may be fully known. And secondly, we see Paul labouring for Jesus and for God's people, that the people of God will be fully grown, known and grown. That's grown as in being strong and growing up, not as in groaning, as in, oh, please stop. Although you might think this, because what have we been speaking about? Suffering for the Lord and now labouring for him. And you think, well, that's a great thing to come and hear, isn't it? You know, suffering and labouring. Agony, actually, is the word. But that's what Paul does. We proclaim Jesus with everything he can think of, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect or mature in Christ. To this end, I labour, struggling with all his energy which so powerfully works within me. He's proclaiming Jesus. He's not proclaiming some new morality. He's not proclaiming some self-help techniques. He's not proclaiming that you can make it on your own or you can do it your way. He's not proclaiming you dream big and you can be whoever you want. He's proclaiming Jesus, in whom is hidden all of the treasures and wisdom and knowledge. And he wants people to grow up into him, becoming mature. And Paul will do this with whatever is needed. Correction, admonition, encouragement, strengthening, warning, teaching, proclamation, that the word of God be known, that Jesus be known, and that people would grow up into him. We get concerned when a baby's growth is not happening as it should be, and rightly so. It's probably a good thought to get out the stethoscope or whatever you might like to get out in your mind's eye and go, how am I going in my growth as a Christian, in my maturity as a follower of Jesus? Paul labours. It's a struggle. It's costly, and it's purposeful that people would grow up perfect, mature in Christ. This is not some sort of perfection as in, well, we would be perfect and in terms of living a morally perfect life. No, it is the idea of maturity in the Lord Jesus, the shape of which he continues to unpack in chapter 2, verse 2, that they would be encouraged in heart, united in love, and have the full riches of complete understanding of what it means to have Christ in them, the hope of glory. Are these things that we're growing in? Encouragement in Jesus, united together as God's people in love, standing firm together in the Lord Jesus Christ, which, as Paul ends in chapter 5 of this passage, he sees and is encouraged that they are doing. They are indeed standing firm in Christ. Are we growing in understanding the full riches of the complete understanding of what it means to have Christ in us, the hope of glory? Is Christ in you, the hope of glory, more a rich, tender thought as the years roll on in your life? And Paul struggles and labours. But don't you love what he says? I do it with all the energy that he so powerfully works in me. Chapter 1, verse 29. He does not do his labouring, his struggling, in his own strength. This is not some sort of positive thinking which many of our modern societies are running after. Our schools seem to be teaching, you know, you be who you want to be. You dream big and you just go for it, you know. And I suspect, you know, 90% of boys want to become rock stars or whatever. You know, someone's going to get disappointed. You only have to look at these cooking shows and, you know, they leave their job and their girlfriend and wife and blah, 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 blah. And this is my life. This is my goal. This is what I ever want to do in my life. And week two, they're out. I mean, there's got to be some disappointments. He's not saying, pull your socks up, dream big, you can do it, you know, whip yourself up. Did I just break into an American accent then? He's not saying that. He's looking to Jesus to work through him. That'll drive us to prayer, won't it? Oh, Lord, help me to be faithful for you in teaching and sharing your word, that people would grow. Now, this will mean, well, I labour. So it can't mean let go and let God. Oh, God will just do it. I don't have to do anything. No, I labour, Paul says. I struggle. I agonise. But nor should this make us feel as if it's all up to us. Because Jesus is with us as we labour for him. Jesus is with us in our suffering for the gospel. As we suffer, we are filling up his afflictions. And Jesus is with us as we labour for him. He powerfully works in us. We are just like broken vessels with a treasure within. It's been such a joy, as I said earlier, to see people come to know Jesus through Christianity Explained.
and then meet with them afterwards and share further the word of God with them and see them, the lights coming on, and them going into a Bible study group, and I meet you at them at church here, and I'm sharing as at 8 a.m. this morning, you know, the Lord's Supper with them, and as I walk along, I say, "Thank you, Lord. You powerfully worked in that person and in that person." That's a great thrill. But I'm just the beggar telling other beggars where the bread is.
So as we suffer and as we serve the Lord, presenting Jesus, we go in his strength. It's not all up to us. And I think the challenge is to us to make ourselves available for him. To make ourselves available for him, to pray for opportunities, to come to church each week, not just when it suits us, not just when our kids aren't doing sport. Come to church, gather together. We need each other. We need this encouragement. We need this strengthening. We need whatever we can to encourage each other in the Lord Jesus Christ. Get involved in a small group. If you're not in a small group, come along to Christianity Explained on Tuesday night. That'll be your first small group. Great idea. Love to have you. Share the word with others. Have the word of Christ dwelling richly among us at morning tea. Share. Pray with others. Encouraging each other's. Seeing the word of God shared fully. It is the case that Paul had a unique ministry in terms of proclamation of Christ to the Gentiles and also in suffering for him. That is the case. But we are so similarly called to proclaim Jesus. Last night, Sally and I went to a concert of a friend of ours. His name's Gary Drury. Some people in this church know Gary. He is an astounding singer, and he shared his life story, and he's had a very difficult one. But there came a point in Gary's life where he felt so drained by life that he said, and he shared this last night at this concert that he was sharing and singing and sharing the word as well. So there came a point where I was so drained as a person that I just felt like lying on the stretcher. And then one day I realised that I needed to get off the stretcher and help carry it. And he is now, with fresh determination, seeking to proclaim Jesus out of his comfort zones. Yes. Suffering for it, yes. But that the word of God will be known in all its fullness, and that the people of God will be grown in all of the stature that Christ calls us to have. Is this a word for you and for me? Yes. So let's ask the Lord's help. Our gracious God, we thank you that you've called us to yourself. Please help us to be so enriched and encouraged and strengthened by who Jesus is, that we would gladly suffer as we proclaim him and your word in all its fullness. Help us as a church to continue to proclaim Jesus, and help us as a church, Heavenly Father, to grow, not just to know, but to grow in him. Help us to do it in whatever sphere we find ourselves, with the gifts that you give us, that we may present each other mature in Christ, in whom is found all of the treasure of wisdom
and knowledge. And help us, as the Colossian church was, to stand firm in Him. Amen.